Good morning. You didn't let a little snow keep you from coming to church today, did you? Little bit of snow and ice? No. No, even though it's on April, right? In April. It doesn't matter. Hey, we've had snow on Mother's Day. Do you remember? So we can handle a little bit of snow. We've had a pretty mild winter. So we can handle it. It's all right. It's all good. Relax. Don't call, you know, it's fine, it's fine, it's all good. At least it's sunny this morning. I don't know if it still is or not, but there was some sun, so that's good. I can take snow if there's sun. It's harder when it's gray, you know, dark and gray. Well, I'm glad you're here today. Are you alive, alert, feeling great? Yeah, oh good, so am I. It's good to see you today. So today we're starting a brand new series called Know the Power, and the name of this sermon for today is called Victory. I just felt like we needed to look at the power of God and how it can bring victory in our lives. Anybody going through a battle right now? Anybody? Okay. I love your honesty. Yep, I love it. Physical battle, an emotional battle, a spiritual battle, a financial battle. Battles come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? They come in all shapes and sizes. But here's what we need to know. God's power is big enough to give us victory no matter what kind of battle we're facing. And it's Him. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. It's not me. It's not you. It's Him. It's all Him. But if we can take a look at that today and recognize that no matter what battle you might be facing, that you faced yesterday, you might be facing today, or you might face tomorrow, no matter what the battle is, He is fully capable of dealing with it. And that gives me peace. I don't know about you, but that gives me a sense of confidence in Him. So let's look at that. Number one, on your note page, if you want to follow along, there's a little fill-in-the-blank page that helps you keep up with where I'm going. If you don't want to fill in the blanks, don't sweat it. We have a lot of freedom around here. It just helps me when I'm listening to someone speak. If I have a little page to fill in the blanks, it helps me keep focused. But if that's not your personality, then don't worry about it. Just listen, do what you do to get what you need to get, right? First of all, and I think this is the most important part of the entire message, okay, is the first point. Know the who behind the victory. Know the who behind the victory, right? Because I can't describe for you every battle that you're going to face in your whole life. I can't lay out a battle plan for everything you might have to deal with. It's impossible. There's too many variables, right? There's way too many variables for me to say, okay, if this happens, do this. If this happens, do this. And then if this happens, and then this happens, do this. But if this happens, and then this happens, do this. It would be exhausting. It would be impossible. But if we can know the who behind the victory, know the who behind the power, that's it. That's all we need to know right there. We're going to stay in the chapter of Psalm 18 for most of today's message, because David wrote this after a battle that he had just won. And what I love about David and his writings, I don't know how much comfort you get from the Psalms, but I get a lot of comfort from the Psalms, especially if I'm facing a battle. First of all, he's transparent. I love his transparency, his authenticity. He doesn't say, oh, things are perfect. He says, this is tough. I don't get it. But he always gives God glory after a win. He always gives God honor after a win. And this is such a psalm. He had just won this huge victory. Name of our message. He had just won this huge victory. And he takes this psalm and he writes out this psalm as a praise for the victory he's just accomplished. And we look at the first three verses and we see that he knows the who behind the victory. Says this in the New Living Translation, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. Know the who behind the victory. What struck me about these three verses is the number of times that David said, the Lord is, and then he had another word. The Lord is, the Lord is. In this short passage, we see the Lord is my strength. When you're feeling weak, God, it can be your strength. I am so grateful I don't have to rely on my own strength. In fact, Paul said, when I am weak, he is shown to be strong. When I am at my weakest, it's when his strength is most obvious in my life. It's when it's most real. He is my strength. The Lord is my rock. I shudder a little bit when someone says of their spouse, he's my rock, or she's my rock. I shudder just a little bit. Now listen, I want you to have great respect for your spouse. I want that. I long for that, for us to have strong, healthy marriages present in our church. But you know what? There's only one rock. There's only one rock, because no matter who your spouse is, they're human. And you are too. What a shock. I don't want you to say of your pastor, she is my rock. No, there's only one rock. There's only one rock. I love that I have people in my life, my parents, my sister, some friends. I have people in my life that I know I can go to, and no matter what, I feel like they always are there to listen to me and pray with me and help me, and I am grateful for that. But you know what? There's only one rock in my life. His name is Jesus. His name is the Lord of hosts. He is my rock, my fortress. Where do you go when you get afraid? Did you ever have a safe place in your house when you're growing up, when you're a little kid? You know, that was the one place you could go and you felt safe. Under my covers. I don't know. In my bed, under my covers. Like nobody could find me there. It was safe. If I thought a bad guy was coming in, I just pulled the covers up over my head. They couldn't find me there. That was my fortress, you see. Some of us, we think we have a safe place in a person or in a situation, and God is saying, no, I want to be your fortress. Run to me. Let me be your safe place. Let me be your safe place. God longs to be our fortress, our safe place. My Savior. We just celebrated Easter last week. He's the one who made it possible for us to have a relationship with God as our Father. He's the one who made adoption into his family possible. He's the one who saved us from our sins. He's the one who keeps saving us from our sins and will always save us from our sins. He is our Savior. He is our protection. Have you ever felt like you needed to defend yourself? You know, I love Jesus' example when he was brought before the Sanhedrin and all these accusations were brought against him. And what did he do? He didn't say a word. He didn't say, I am the Son of God. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'll show you. I'll prove it. We get so defensive so fast. You know why? Because we're not counting on God to be our protection. We need to follow Jesus' example more often. And when somebody attacks, and it happens, you know, you let God be your protection. He will. He has so many times in my life. He is our protection. He is our shield. Oh, I like that too. A shield keeps the arrows from penetrating, you know. Arrows can't get through the shield. They just bounce off. That doesn't mean they don't come. That just means they don't have impact on you. He is your shield. He is the power that saves me. He is my place of safety. I can't remember now where it is. I should know, I know. But There's a verse in the New Testament that says, I know whom I have believed in. There's also an old hymn that says it. For I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able. I love that. If you know the who behind the power, if you know the who behind the victory, then you know there is no battle you can ever face that will take you down. There's no battle. Did you know God will not let you go into a battle unless he's confident you can win it? That's like stacking the deck, you know? He stacks the deck in your favor. He totally makes it possible. That doesn't mean it's not hard sometimes, of course it is, but he always makes it possible for you to win the battle. Always. If you know the who behind the victory, the rest of it is cake. Really. If you're going through something difficult, I don't know about you, but for a long time, I would tend to try to analyze why it happened, how it happened, and then because then I could figure out how to get out of it, right? And I think that's the whole wrong approach. In my life, my experience, I've never had success that way. It just doesn't lead to a good place. But instead, when I'm fighting something, instead of trying to figure out the why and the how and all of that, I look to the who. Okay, God, I don't know how this happened. I don't know why this happened, but I know who I have believed in. And I am completely persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've entrusted to him, my heart. I've entrusted it to him. I've entrusted my life to him. And so I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know when it's going to work out. I don't know why it happened to begin with, but I know who. I know the who behind the victory. But then David goes on in this psalm to talk about various things that he has seen God be victory over. In verses 4-6, he says, God is my victory over death. Listen to this. The ropes of death entangled me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. Wow. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. I don't know how many of you have faced death of any sort, whether it's the death of a loved one or the death of something, a dream. The death of a dream can be extremely trapping. It can be like it's a trap that's been laid in your path. It feels like the ropes are entangled around you. The death of a relationship. The death of your hopes. Well, I always thought my kids would do this when they grew up. I always thought it would be different. Death can be a lot of different things. Death can be something that happened a long time ago where you lost innocence. Where you lost, you had this rosy picture of the world and something shattered it. But David here says, no matter what kind of death I've faced, he talks about several different kinds, the ropes of death entangling, floods of destruction sweeping over him, the grave wrapping its ropes around him, and then death laying a trap in my path. But he says, no matter what kind it was, he heard me from his sanctuary. My cry reached his ears. God gives us victory over death of any kind. And then point number three, God gives us victory over our enemies. Now, don't let a picture of someone's face come to mind when I say enemies. It's not what I'm talking about. An enemy is anything that steals from your life what God intended you to be and have. Like lack, like sickness, like disease, like disappointment, like discontent. Anything that steals from you is an enemy. It says in the Bible that the enemy, Satan, came to kill, steal, and destroy. So anything that's trying to kill in your life or steal from you or destroy, that's an enemy, okay? But we don't have to sweat that we have enemies, because David says here, God even gives me victory over my enemies. In Psalm 18, 16 through 19, he says, he reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. David was a warrior, so it goes against everything within him to say someone else is stronger than him. Do you understand? Like, he was a battling king. He was not on the sidelines. He was out there. Remember Goliath, that whole Goliath thing? He was a fighter. And David says, I have enemies that are too strong for me. Some of us, that is like half the battle. It might even be 80% of the battle. Because we want to tell ourselves, no, I can do this. I can do this. I'm going to grit my teeth and bear it. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to do this. Especially if you have any German in your background. You're taught, oh, you got to be strong. You got to fight through this. You got to be independent. Was anybody else taught that growing up? I was definitely taught that growing up. Yep. David says, hey, these enemies are too strong for me. I can't do it. I can't do it. But God can. They attacked me at a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord supported me. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me. This is my favorite part. Because he delights in me. He rescued me because he delights in me. I don't know what picture you get that comes to mind when you say, if I say to you, close your eyes and think of what God's face looks like right now. I don't know what image comes to your mind. This is what comes to my mind right there. He delights in me. God delights in me. Why? Because you're so good? Nope. Why? Because you always make the right choice? Nope. Why? Because you're more holy than someone else? Nope. Because I'm his daughter. Because I'm his little girl. He delights in me. David here had an understanding that was way before his time. Way, way, way before the concept of the cross. It was pre-cross, you understand. But he had a comprehension somehow with all the time that he spent with God, with being called a man after God's own heart. He understood that he was God's delight. I don't know. There's something to that. Because you're not going to run to a God that you think doesn't delight in you. You're going to run from a God that you think is unhappy with you. You're going to run from a God who thinks that you think is always disappointed in you. You're going to run from a God if you think he is constantly irritated with every decision you make. He's disappointed with you. But if you understand that God delights in you, you run to him to be your victory. It's so key to understanding power. It's so key to understanding the power that's available in God. It's like I can walk into a room if I want. And have you ever been in this room when the lights are all off? Whoo, it is dark. You can see the exit signs, but that's about it. You can't see where the chairs are because they're black and they're not glow in the dark, you know. I could come in this room if I wanted to and try to stumble my way around and figure out how to get to where I need to go if I don't access the power that's available in here. You see, I know where the power is, so I just feel my way along that wall and step up behind the sound booth and I flip on the lights. Turn on the power. Lo, I can see where I need to go. Some of us, we go through our whole lives fighting battle after battle after battle with all the lights off. Why? Because we think God is mad at us. We think God doesn't see us as his beloved son or his beloved cherished daughter. Instead, he sees us as just that kid who keeps messing up over and over and over and over again. They don't measure up. No. What we celebrated last week says that when God looks at me, he sees perfection. Am I perfect? No, but he thinks I am. Go figure. I'm going to let him decide. I'm just going to let him decide. And if that's what he sees, I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to run to him. I'm going to turn on the power when I need it. Oh, point four goes right into point four. I didn't really plan that, but victory over darkness. He gives us victory over darkness. Psalm 18, 28 and 29 says, "You light a lamp for me. The Lord my God lights up my darkness. In your strength I can crush an army. With my God I can scale any wall." Don't tell me you don't have a dark place in your life. We all have dark places in our lives. Every single one of us has darkness that we struggle with at one time or another. Sometimes multiple times throughout the day. Sometimes we can go for a few days without facing it. But it's there. But according to David, God can light up my darkness. I don't have to leave that place dark in my life. I don't have to leave that place dark in my heart. Because God makes it possible for the lights to come on. I don't have to stumble. I don't have to live like that. With him, I love that David says, I can crush an army, not just an enemy, an entire army of enemies. I can crush an army. I can scale any wall. Do you ever feel like there's a wall in your life and it's insurmountable? It just feels impossible. And like you want to march around it like they did with Jericho and watch the stones come tumbling down. And sometimes God does it that way. And sometimes he says, nope, take that rope. We're going over it. I don't know why. David says, I can scale any wall with God. With God, I can do any of it. And then I love the last few verses of this psalm. Notice that I didn't go through the whole psalm. I would encourage you to do that this week if you want to get more into it. I just wanted to pick out certain parts because of the time factor. You're looking a little tired today, some of you, so don't want to keep you too long. Psalm 18, 46 through 50, I'm calling this part, Yay God. He starts out with Yay God and he ends with Yay God. And if every prayer that we pray can start out with Yay God and end with Yay God, we're good. Really. This coming weekend, pray for me if you think about it, because I'm going to be gone Friday, Saturday, and Sunday doing a women's retreat in Pennsylvania. Really excited about it. God's given me some good stuff to share. I have 5 messages to preach, so I'll come home tired. But I just know God's going to be there. But we're talking about prayer. That's the whole theme for the whole weekend. And it's just funny as I've been studying it, because I feel like my concept of prayer has changed so much over the years. When I was little, I was told I should pray. And so I did, right? When I was little, I was told, when I was scared, pray. When I was lonely, pray. Those are good. Those are all good things. But I feel like now my prayer is more worship-centered than need-centered than ever before in my life. Really. I used to come with my list of needs to God. And I would go down the list. And you know what? I'm not discounting that. I feel like that had a place in my heart and my life that was good. But now I just feel like if I can start out with yay, God, and end with yay, God, the stuff in the middle is just shrinking. It's like that old chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Remember that one? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. And I love that David says in the first few verses, woo, this is who God is. And then he ends with, yay, God. Listen to this. The Lord lives. Praise to my rock. May the God of my salvation be exalted. He is the God who pays back those who harm me. That right there alone could set somebody free in this room today. I believe it. If you have been in a situation where you've been harmed by someone and you have wanted them to get what was coming to them, that is human. That is normal. Don't beat yourself up over it. But you know what? When you can get to the place where you say, he is the God who pays back those who harm me. I am not responsible to do it. I'm not the revenge seeker. I'm not the, what was that show that was on for a while where this guy would go and make right something that was wrong? I forget what it was called now. It was an old one. Yeah, I'm not that person. I don't have to pay back those who harm me. What did Jesus say when he was dying on the cross? One of the most powerful, powerful things. Father, forgive them. What? He didn't say, Father, strike them dead. They deserve it. That's not what he said. He didn't say, Father, at least strike them with boils so I can watch them suffer while I'm suffering. He didn't say that. Some of us, we do. My hand's up. Sometimes that's the way it works in my heart. But you know what? If I can see them through eyes of grace, first of all, it changes everything. But even if someone really is that evil, let God take care of it. Let God work it out in his timing. David said, he is the God who pays back those who harm me. He subdues the nations under me and rescues me from my enemies. You hold me safe beyond the reach of my enemies. You save me from violent opponents. For this, O Lord, I will praise you among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. Let's pause there. I believe with all of my heart, if we can say like Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, I ask you not to hold this sin to their account. I believe we will have a testimony that will speak to nations. I believe we will have a story that is so counter to the culture in which we live, it will be raised as a voice that doesn't have to be loud, but that will be heard across nations, across cultural boundaries, across socioeconomic boundaries, across race boundaries. If we can get to a place where we say, God, you are the one who is responsible for my life, and I ask you to forgive people who have hurt me, they don't even know what they were doing. They don't even realize what they were doing. That's power. That's power. That's love in power. Love in action right there. And then he finishes off with this verse. You give great victories to your king. You show unfailing love to your anointed, to David and all of his descendants forever. I believe he unlocked a really powerful secret right there too. Not only when you face a battle and you overcome a battle and you say, yay, God, at the end of the battle, not only do you impact nations, you impact generations, your generation. Some of you are pioneers. You're the first. You're the first in your generation that you're the one who's with the Lord. You're the one for the first time in all your whole lineage. You're the first one that you know of that has made a commitment and in a relationship with God. And it's hard because you're breaking new territory. You're breaking ground. And you're like that person, that Sherpa who goes before the guide and breaks down all of the weeds. It's a hard thing. But you know what? Don't ever forget, even if you can't see it with your eyes right now, your testimony will live for generations. David, when he said this, he didn't see a whole lot of evidence in it in his kids. He just didn't. His kids were a mess. It's too much to go into right now. They were a mess. But if you look down the road after David, if you look further down the road, generationally, you will see this king and they will say, he had a heart like his father, David. Ha, ha. You see, David was still impacting hundreds of years later. Hundreds of years later. And some of you are like, well, Sandy, that's all well and good for the person who's already won the battle. But I'm still in the thick of it. Well, I have a psalm for you too. And I don't have it up there on the screen. I'm just going to read it to you. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. Well, maybe I am actually. Yeah, I think I am. It's only 8 verses. Relax. That's really good. Here, if you're struggling in a battle right now, write down somewhere on your page Psalm 62, 1-8. This is the psalm if you're in the middle of a battle. If you're finished with a battle and you've won it, the one we just studied is perfect. If you're still in the thick of it, here it is. Ready? It doesn't say take up your swords and fight like a man. Fight like a woman warrior. No. It says, I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Here it is again. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. That one needs to be underlined, highlighted, starred. Like, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Sometimes the hardest part of a battle is waiting quietly, because we just want to defend ourselves. We want to fight. We want to, you know, somehow set the record straight. We want to go on Facebook and tell the world. Rant. Here's a rant. And we rant. And God says, shh. If you're struggling in a battle and you know that word is for you, raise your hand. Okay? All around. Keep your hands up. If you're around somebody who has their hands up, I want you to move to them and put your hands on their shoulders as a sign of solidarity. We're with you. Everybody who has their hand up, somebody have their hand on your shoulder. There's two up here. Can somebody? Okay. Oh, can Barb, can you put your hand on Donna's shoulder there? She has her, there you go, perfect. Is everybody? I know. Okay. Daniel and Catrice, yep, perfect. Thanks, John. God, we thank you that our victory and our hope is completely in you. God, I thank you for these people who are willing to be honest and say, I'm in a tough spot right now. And I thank you for every person who's willing to get behind them and put their hand on their shoulder and say, you're not alone. And God, I pray that you would pour out your grace on all of us right now, that we would be able to wait quietly before you, knowing that our hope is in you. Let all that we are wait quietly before you, for our hope is in you and you alone, God. I pray that you would pour out your peace and your love like a river in this place, in our hearts, God, for these people who are battle weary. They're worn, God. I pray that you would pour out your strength on them in a way that they find it shocks them a little bit, how they walk out feeling so much stronger than when they walked in because they took a moment to wait quietly before you. God, we stop trying to figure out the why and the how. And we just wait quietly before you, for all of our hope is in you. You are our fortress, our place of safety. And you can do in one nanosecond what we couldn't do in 1,000 years if we were fighting on our own strength. Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Not me, him. Be still and know. Amen.